Well, I remember a couple of years ago, I remember the sun was shining, I had a good job, I had a family, and it was the type of day that would have brought most people happiness. But for me, I was feeling far from happy. I was throwing up, stuff was coming out the other end as well. I remember clinging onto the bottom of the toilet, putting my face against the cold porcelain, thinking, oh God, if I could just stop being sick, I'd feel so much happier. You see, everything in my life was perfect apart from one thing, and that one thing was stopping me from enjoying the rest of my life. And often we can be like that, can't we? We can be looking at things and thinking, if only my car wasn't broken, if only I had a new house. We might look at our families, we might think, oh, if only my kids behaved better, if only my husband was better, or my wife was better, or something in my life was better. Often, when we have a struggle in our life, we can look to one thing for hope. And if we don't get that one thing, our life seems hopeless. So this morning, I want to look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about this. So if you'd like to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. You see, the guy who wrote this book is the Apostle Peter. And Peter had been a prize clown in his lifetime. He had followed Jesus around. He was full of pride. He was full of anger. He was full of fear. He made so many mistakes. But he learned from those mistakes. And he learned from Jesus. He learned from being with Jesus and listening to him and reading God's word and being guided by the Holy Spirit. Peter was the head of the church. He was overseeing the explosion of Christianity throughout Israel, throughout Asia, and throughout Europe. And he knew all the struggles that the Christians were facing. Now, when he wrote this, a lot of Christians were being persecuted and they were being scattered throughout Europe and Asia. Persecuted, they felt alone, they were strangers in different lands, and they had fears and struggles beyond belief. So Peter wrote this letter so that they could understand how to deal with struggles through the gospel, through God's word. So if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through the faith is shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So let's just pray and ask God to speak to us via his word. So Father, we come before you now, Lord. We come expecting to hear from you, from your word. We thank you that your word is alive. We thank you that your word can change lives. And we pray, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, that you will change our hearts and minds and make us more like your son, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. So let's look at the first verse. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So the Bible tells us that as human beings, we are born into sin. That because of what happened with Adam and Eve at the beginning, every single one of their children, which includes us, as they were our great, 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 whatever, grandparents, we have inherited the sin that they brought into this world. So we are born into a world full of sin, a world full of death, a world full of disease, a world that is broken, a world completely different than what God had planned for us. God had planned that we'd be a part of a perfect world. But because of our sin and our rejection of him, we're in a world that is far from perfect. There are some good bits to it, but even the good bits are spoilt by man, by our selfishness and our desire to serve us instead of each other and serve our God. But God, it says here, God had mercy. He looked at us. He looked at us struggling in this world, struggling with death and disease and sin, and had pity. He loved us. He showed us mercy. And he wanted to save us from the disaster that we'd created for ourselves. And he did this by giving us new birth. And the new birth was made possible by what we're celebrating this morning, the resurrection of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. You see that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, and he rose again, defeating death, so that anyone who trusts and believes in him can be washed clean from sin, but also experience new birth. So it's a bit like this. Imagine we've seen the terrible pictures of all the refugees struggling to get out of the country because of famine and war. But because they've been born in that country, they're stuck as residents of a war-torn country. And they're looking at Europe thinking, I want to get there. I want to be part of that land that is far better than the land that I belong. And imagine the joy if somebody came along to those refugees who were trying to get out of their country and said, you can be a citizen of our land, a land without sadness, a land without poverty, a land without pain. They would be overjoyed. And that's what they have a hope for. You see those people in Calais trying to get to Britain, they have a hope that if they get to Britain, they will have a better life. How much more should our hope be? Our living hope in Jesus. That one day we're not just going to go to a better country, but a better world. We'll be in heaven, a place without sadness or suffering or poverty. That is our living hope, that through the resurrection, we can be born again. Born not as children of sin in this fallen world, but be born of the living God. Be children of God and be heirs to his kingdom of heaven. That is what we have to look for. That is the hope that believers in Jesus Christ have. So this morning I want to ask you, if you want to make your life better, what is it that you're hoping for? What is it that we are hoping for this morning that we will think will make our life better? Where are we looking for happiness? Do you know the new birth that Jesus Christ gives us, that the resurrection of Jesus gives us? Do we have a living hope? And are we praising God this morning because we have that living hope? Imagine the joy that a refugee would have once he was finally allowed out of his country and welcomed into another country of safety. We should have joy 10 times that. Unlimited joy at the fact that one day we will be not just citizens of this earth that is fallen and broken, but heirs to the kingdom of God. The next verse says, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So on earth, no matter what we have, whether it's houses or cars or clothes or even people, whatever brings us joy never lasts. Spoilt by sin. If we put our hope in people, they will let us down because they're sinners. We will let others down because we are sinners. Houses will need repairing, cars will break down and need scrapping. No matter what we have, we'll get spoiled and we'll perish. But what God promises is an inheritance that will never spoil, that will never be spoiled by sin, that will never perish, that will never die. It is eternal. What we are going to inherit as children of God should bring us joy. It is safe. No one can steal it and take it from us. It is kept in heaven for us. God is keeping our inheritance in heaven. He's keeping it safe. And by his power, he is protecting us so that we will get it. There's no way we can lose out on this inheritance if we trust in him. If we have faith in him, no one can spoil what we have to look forward to. No one can take away the joy and the hope that we have. It's being kept until that day that Jesus returns to call his children to him. Do we have joy in that? Are we happy at the thought that one day we will have an inheritance that no one can take from us, that will never spoil? Are our hopes set on things of this world, people and things of this world that will never last and will let us down? Or is our hope set on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Are we thinking about now, about our problems today, or are we thinking of our blessings and joy for eternity? Are we stuck in the here and now, or are we willing to believe God's word and think about an eternity worshipping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The next verses say, in all this you greatly rejoice, Though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we're given new life. We're given forgiveness. We have the option of eternal happiness with a God who we can worship and we can rejoice with. Even if we have things causing us pain today, that's only temporary. How much should we rejoice that if we're suffering today, it's not forever. It's a short time. Even if you've got a terminal illness, even if you've got a life of poverty, that life is short, is tiny, is minute in comparison to the eternity that we'll have free from all the suffering. We can take joy in the fact that even though it's hard now, one day it won't be. One day it will be amazing. And also, if we're telling people that we're believers, that we are born again, people are going to be looking at us and they're going to be watching us and seeing how we respond to trouble. How we respond to struggles show whether our faith is genuine. God uses our struggles to strengthen us, to strengthen our faith. Because he doesn't want us to have a faith that is half-hearted, that we will lose and miss out on his inheritance. He wants us to have a genuine faith that passes the test so that we can inherit from him. We look at gold. We look at things that excites us, but it's not going to last. But we can look at heaven, which is eternal. Heaven that can never be taken from us. Heaven that will never perish. Where are we looking for our happiness? Where are we seeking joy? Where are we putting in our hope? I watched a documentary on the Royal Marines and they get beasted. They've got to run miles and miles and miles with backpacks on their packs. They are in pain, the cold, the hungry. They're getting screamed in the face. They're being humbled. They're being belittled. And they're going through all these struggles. And the reason they go through all these struggles is because they know that they will get a burial at the end of it that will say they're a Royal Marine. And the pride that they will have by wearing that beret is like nothing they will get anywhere else on this earth. So they put their hope on the beret and it helps them face the struggles ahead of them. It helps them put through the cold, to get through the hunger, to get through the physical stress and the screaming and the shouting, because they have a goal at the end of it. And if we too can understand the goal that is ahead of us, the prize that is ahead of us, when we are struggling, we will find strength by the Holy Spirit to persevere through our struggles and our hard times, because we know that one day what we're going through will be forgotten, because the prize that is before us is just so amazing. It's so amazing that it's worth the hassles that we're going through. It's so amazing that we will forget the hassles that we are going through. Are we rejoicing in our suffering? I'm not saying we have to be happy that we're struggling. The Bible doesn't say, put a smile on your face and get over it. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says you can rejoice in suffering because it's temporary. You can rejoice in suffering because one day it will be forgotten. We can cry out to God for help in our suffering. We've seen in Psalm 22, David cried out for help. He didn't enjoy the suffering, but he had joy because he knew that suffering one day would be over and he would be with his Saviour in heaven. Do we understand that our suffering and our struggles is temporary and will be over soon? Are we seeing that we've got an eternal prize to seek? The next verse says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The fact that we are believing in something that we cannot see requires faith, and faith is a gift from God. And that joy comes from understanding what the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has saved us from. We deserved hell. Whatever we're struggling in now, we deserve far greater punishment for eternity in hell because we've rejected our Creator. We've rejected the King and Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw a man the other day who was on the front page of a paper who'd been so cruel and disgusting to an animal that it made me angry. It made me angry that I wanted to see this man suffer. And then I was rebuked in my thoughts by God. I was rebuked reminding myself of what I deserved. And I deserved far greater than this man deserved. Because I hadn't just hurt a dog, I had hurt my Lord and Saviour by rejecting him over and over again. And we all deserve great punishment. But in his mercy, he has given us great joy and great hope and saved us from hell. Do we know him? Even though we haven't seen him, do we know Jesus this morning? Do we love him? Can we say this morning that we love Jesus? Can we say this morning that we are filled with the joy of knowing what he has saved us from? And what we are about to receive, we're not just saved from sin, but we're about to receive an inheritance from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are sharing in the glory of God in heaven, in the new world, and in the new heavens. Now in the Bible, we see a lot of people who remain hopeful in their suffering. We see Job, who after hearing that his whole family had been wiped out by disaster, his friends come and tell him about the tragedy, and he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised in all this." Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. So we saw Job, he was suffering, he was sad, he was heartbroken, but he still praised God because he knows that God is his Saviour. He knows that God is kind, and he knew the prize that was before him. We saw David in Psalm 22. He was singing about his suffering. He was crying out to God, but he still praised God. He was still thankful because he knew what God was rescuing him from ultimately. God was rescuing him more than a few enemies on earth. He was rescuing him from hell, and he was going to have an eternity in heaven with him. Then we see Jesus. Jesus who knew the suffering before him. Jesus who was suffering not because of what he'd done, but because of what we had done. He knew the pain that he was about to go through. He knew the insults. He knew he was going to be spat at and beaten and punched and whipped to inches of his life. He knew he was going to have to carry a cross up a hill half dead. Then he knew he was going to be nailed on that cross until he died in our place for our sin. And he cried out to God saying, "Rescue me, please take this cup away from me." But then he praised God by saying, "Your will be done, not mine." Then he praised God by being obedient and going to that cross like a lamb to the slaughter. He went and died on that cross in our place for our sins. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, defeating not only sin, but death. So that everyone who trusts in him can know not only forgiveness, but eternal life and share in that joy and glory that is before him. The inheritance that will never, ever perish, be spoilt by sin or taken away. So maybe we're going through times now, or maybe we'll be going times in the future where we think nothing is going right. Problems with people we live with, our family, our husbands, our wives, our children, our flatmates. Maybe it's our neighbours. Maybe someone we love is ill. Maybe we are ill. Maybe we think there is no hope for us. But we need to remember that whatever we're going through now is temporary, and that our hope is a living hope, not for today, but for eternity. And that whatever we're going through now, if we hold on to that hope, that pain will be more bearable, that the Holy Spirit will strengthen us through our struggles, that if we come together as a church, we can strengthen each other through struggles and through hard times. We need to remember that whatever we've lost, we're going to gain 10 times more than whatever we've lost. We need to remember that God will protect us and see us through our hard times. We're not struggling alone. The Holy Spirit is with us, guiding and leading us through our troubles. And we need to rejoice that God has saved us from this fallen world, that we're no longer children of this world, but children of heaven, children of the living God. So let's rejoice this Easter. Let's rejoice in our suffering. Let's rejoice in our happiness. Let's praise God at all times. Praise him for his son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and will be coming back again to rescue his children from this land. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you that you don't just give us a hope, Lord, that you give us a living hope in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before you in our pain and in our struggles, Lord, and you will strengthen us and you will provide for us and you will give us a hope that one day we will be in that place with you, Lord. that where you will put us on your knee and wipe away every tear. Thank you, Lord, that this gift is free. Thank you that all we have to do is just put our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I just pray if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, that they will trust in you, even though they can't see you, Lord, that they will put their faith in you. And Lord, I just pray for everyone here who knows and loves you, Lord, that you will just strengthen us in times of struggle, that you will remind us that our struggle is temporary and our joy is eternal. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.